You know, back in the day, the scariest things that you could possibly see on your black and white television screen before the pink and green color ones came out later. It's like, look, a color TV. It's like, it's not really very lifelike. But anyway, I digress. The scariest stuff is the unknown depths of the human mind, because we all walk around with one, you know, in various stages of development. Our guest for the next 2 hours will be Anne Blake Tracy. She's the director of the International Coalition for Drug Awareness, specialized for 22 years in adverse reactions to serotonergic medications, antidepressants such as Prozac, Zoloft, Paxil, Luvox, Effexor, Celexa, Lexapro, Cymbalta, Pristiq, Cerazone, Anafrenil, etc., and diet pills. Remember the old Fen-Phen and Redux and newer atypical antipsychotic medications such as Zyprexa, Geodon, Abilify. You know, you watch these commercials, it's like, this product will make your life so much better. And then it goes into a two-minute dissertation on all the weird stuff that you may experience if you take it, so that by the time you finish listening to the disclaimer, you're going, why would I take this? Among her bona fides are a 2004 FDA testimony on antidepressants. There's one for 2006 FDA testimony on antidepressants. And it just so happens that there's been an article recently and very quickly deleted linking psychiatric drugs to murders. This is going to be pretty strange, and frankly, I can't wait to get into it, because some things are just fitting a little bit too neatly into the, well, sometimes it is possible to get a square peg into a round hole and have it fit perfectly. We'll be right back with Anne Blake Tracy. Her book is Prozac, Panacea or Pandora, and you might want to look at her website while you wait for her to come on the program, which will be in just a minute and a half, 2 minutes. SSRIstories.com. That's right. Anne Blake Tracy is next on Coast to Coast AM. Anne Blake Tracy, welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. Been a long time since June of 2009, and we're glad to have you back, particularly in light of all the events of the last few months. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
You know, I have so many questions to ask you that I really don't know where to begin, but I'm thinking maybe the place to begin is, say, how over-medicated are we? It seems like it's endless commercials with endless drugs that address endless problems, and then the next commercial that you see is some outfit that says, if you've taken any of this stuff and had some weirdness happen to you, you may be entitled to money damages. This does not escape my notice, so it just looks like all you have to do is ask for something. You tell somebody, tell a doctor you're depressed, and here you go. And there's really not right. much further research into what your condition actually is. So we got a doped up nation. That's it throws me back to, I'm just throwing a bunch of stuff out there, and then you just pick up whatever you want. But I remember the expression going postal, and all this was traced back to, not all of it, but 99% of it, it seemed, was traced back to Prozac.
Yep.
So I'm just wondering, how deep is this mud hole that we're standing in? Sorry?
They're all just clones of Prozac.
They are.
Sure, yeah. They're just spin-offs. They all work the same way. They just gave them a different name. So it's scary.
A friend of mine, told his doctor that he had anxiety. Mm-hmm. So the doctor gave him Lexapro. And I said, well, as I watched his behavior for a while, I thought, what is the one thing? Well, anyway, you smoke quite a bit of what you would call the some people call the good herb, Mentos, this sort of thing. And I thought, gee, this is quite a bit. This is quite a bit of the old pot smoking. And I got to thinking about this, and I thought, and I said, what? Now, one more time, why are you taking this Lexapro? And he said, well, I told my doctor I had anxiety. I said, well, anxiety is a normal part of life. I mean, there's going to be a little of that. That's all you told him, and he gave you a prescription for this? Yes. And how much do you take? It was quite a bit. And I began to think, about some of the old hippie lingo, like, you know, when I smoke, it sometimes it makes me paranoid. And I thought, okay, another word for paranoid is anxiety. So maybe it's taking the Lexapro that's driving the need to smoke this. So I asked him to look into it. I said, why don't you come off of that stuff? Tell your doc you want to come off. So the doc pulled him off of it very slowly, and the pot habit disappeared. So I'm wondering,
because when you increase serotonin, you produce cravings for alcohol and other drugs.
We'll elaborate a little bit on that. And where does that eventually take you?
Not any good place that I know of. In fact, I just talked to a woman this morning that's developed an alcohol problem while on the drug. And that's the very first thing that I saw was Prozac. Because I was living in Salt Lake City, Utah at the time, surrounded, of course, by Mormons, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, who have a very strict health code, including you do not drink alcohol. Well, suddenly I had two close friends that didn't know each other. They were friends of mine, but they were both LDS. And yet, suddenly, out of the blue, they were both drinking like crazy. And the only thing that they had in common was a prescription for Prozac. And one of them continued to ask me to please look into the drug for him. Finally, I stopped by a pharmacy and asked for a package insert and read through it, and there it was. It causes hypoglycemia was one of the listed side effects. And hypoglycemia is what generally causes the cravings for alcohol. I've known that for years. So I looked at that and said, well, no wonder. And I called, I think it was a poison control, and said, can you tell me what's going to happen with somebody drinking and using Prozac? She said, they'll go psychotic.
They'll go psychotic.
Yeah, and I said, well, that's where my friend just ended up. They locked her in a psych ward. She started having seizures, too. And eventually she died from the cancer she got from them. But
now, according to the definition I have here from Mayo Clinic, SSRI drugs are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. I have no idea what this means. Can you clarify this?
Yes, it's really quite simple. What they do is they impair your ability to break down serotonin. And by impairing that metabolism of serotonin, it can't turn into things like melatonin like it should, which means you can't sleep on the drug, but you want serotonin to be able to be metabolized. In fact, I have said forever that the whole hypothesis behind these drugs is completely backwards. Because when you go back and read the research on serotonin, read it before it became financially advantageous to tell you the opposite.
Right, money again.
When you read the early research on serotonin, it is clear that you never want to impair one's ability to metabolize serotonin.
It's a neurotransmitter, yes. It's a chemical substance that transmits nerve impulses between what? Nerve cells or neurons?
Were originally called neurohormones. So that'll give you a better idea that the brain is part of the glandular system.
Gotcha.
All connected.
Yeah, I see it here. It's also known as 5-hydroxytryptamine, a hormone in the pineal gland, the digestive tract, the central nervous system, and blood platelets. So it doesn't seem like a good idea to interrupt that.
That's right.
I mean, just according to the definition, it sounds like. All right, then let me ask you this. Why? First of all, you've been at this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, is the source of most depression in the human condition an organic problem?
In
In other words, is there, I mean, what has anybody come to a conclusion as to what brings about depression in people?
What I've seen more than anything else is low blood sugar, hypoglycemia.
Low blood sugar.
When the blood sugar is not normal, when it drops like that, you immediately begin to lose brain cells. Your body's trying to say, hey, I'm in trouble here. Can you please get this level back up? And depression has always been associated with hypoglycemia. You'll find a lot associated also with thyroid malfunction. But, you know, that's why I think it's really important to look at the fact that neurotransmitters are neurohormones. They're directly connected to the entire glandular system of the body. And we just put up a study on our website saying more fruits, more veggies, more happy.
Yeah, and your websites are.
The thing about the brain is we have about the rest of the body. We start taking care of it, it works.
I want to mention your websites very quickly, drugawareness.org and ssristories.com. You know, there's all this information this latest incident at in Connecticut. You know, that stuff is, the information is so fluid right now. It has not completely gelled yet, but, and there are all sorts of stuff circulating around about lists of people who have, you know, engaged in these mass shootings and so forth. And it appears, according to this data, emphasis on appears, because, you know, I don't want to commit to something I don't know, you know, what I'm talking about. But it looks like most of these people were on some sort of SSRI medication.
Right. That's right. And yet, if you really look at how they work, remember, if you can't metabolize serotonin, it's going to build up in the brain. Do you know what LSD and PCP do as they enter the brain?
I do not.
They mimic serotonin. So as you take a hit of LSD or PCP, the brain looks at it and reacts as if you have a good-sized dose of serotonin. So gradually, over time, as the serotonin level rises, you begin to have LSD and PCP-like effects.
Now, Anne, is this a fact?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
In fact, just in the last several years, the National Institute of Health has been testing ketamine as an antidepressant.
Testing what?
Known in the streets as Special K.
It's oh, dear.
It's your drug, the PCP. And they say it's amazing. Now, keep in mind, PCP and ketamine were introduced to the market as anesthetics, dissociative anesthetics, meaning they knock out the brain, but the body can continue to move. Anyway.
Yeah. That's what got Amy Winehouse, I think, isn't it? Kettering.
Well, she was on antidepressants, so I don't know. Combination of the two.
Well, you know, anyway. I usually do this at the beginning of the interview, but let me ask you this. What led you to this work? Because your first book on this issue was published in 1991.
That's right. Well, it was at first the two friends that I mentioned.
Yeah.
And to see them drinking like crazy and knowing that the combination would produce a psychotic break for them, which it did for both. And then as I started looking closer, I was just appalled at what I saw. I thought, we can't do this to people. I mean, just having a medication that was becoming so popular that would make people drink, and then after they began drinking a lot, could possibly go psychotic, I thought, whoa, wait a minute, that's just not right. And I kept trying to get other doctors in the field to do something about it. And I pretty much just said, well, nobody's doing anything, I guess I better.
Right.
And that's how it started. And then the more that I saw, the more alarmed I became at what I was seeing. And it was simple math to see where we were headed. And I thought, somebody's got to do something. I have asked the drug companies why it's my responsibility. So why aren't you out there tracking these cases, looking to see if your drugs are involved? Why is it me? We've got to do something. Somebody's got to do something. That's what I kept telling myself. So, but I thought it would only take me a couple of years, because it's really very simple to understand when you look at the research. I had no idea that 22 years later, I would still be going over all of this information and trying to wake people up to what it's really doing to our society.
The better part of 20 years ago, we started hearing, Ritalin, and then later Adderall, because Ritalin was just all the rage for a while. They were just prescribing it just handing it out like candy.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, now that seems to have sort of faded into the background, and now it's this other stuff that's at the forefront. Are those drugs related in any way to SSRIs?
Out there, right?
What? Say that again?
You've got to keep the drugs that are under patent out there.
Is Adderall or Ritalin, is it related to SSRI at all, or is that just a separate deal? Is that on the amphetamine side?
They do have a serotonergic effect, and the antidepressants do test out in the blood as amphetamine. Many people will fail their drug test because they're on an antidepressant.
Yep.
So there are similarities. How many, I don't know. I haven't looked into it that closely. But the Ritalin definitely does have a serotonergic effect as well. But like I said, they switched a lot of these kids over to these new drugs. In fact, there's one called Strattera that is an antidepressant that has been approved for ADHD.
Quickly tell us, what is the criteria for determining if a person is depressed enough to warrant prescribing SSRIs for them?
I had a fellow over the internet once years ago trying to be smart. He came in and he said, "Whoa, this sounds like a great trip. How do I get some of this stuff?"
Oh, boy.
And I just posted, "Well, you walk past the doctor breathing." But at this point, I don't think breathing's a requirement.
No kidding.
You can get it anywhere.
Really? That doesn't sound good to me. Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah. We're moving right along here, my dear, and we must take our little break. But when we come back, I want to ask you: is this stuff just everywhere? Is it in the drinking water when people throw their prescriptions away? Does it come back out of the faucet? I mean, is there any way to get rid of it? Are we all drugged and we just don't know it? Find out if she knows anything about DMT too. I keep hearing about that. We'll be back with Ann Tracy. And Blake Tracy. I'm John Wells. This is Coast. This really is a remarkable discussion, but it's one of those discussions that should be handled with some sensitivity, given what has happened over the recent months. But it's obvious that these occurrences are not normal. And in listening to that old song by Zebra, The part about what do they think of you animals in their zoo, don't you feel like maybe they're not just talking about the UFO guys? They might be talking about our betters, our masters. Yeah, the ones that, according to some of the guests we've had on this program over the months and years, $1 billion to join the pharmaceutical club, get it out there, make your money back real quick, and then if you get sued, so what? Pay off a few $1 million, you're done. Go on to the next drug. Maybe it's the same drug. Same drug with a different name, same effect. You know, the truth will set you free. It may be just a little bit of a strain to get your wings flapping. But it's boring being groundbound. And frankly, I don't know about you, but I don't like being a victim, particularly of things that are imposed on us, even though they're only directly imposed on a few. However, when money is involved, an increase in the number of people it's directed at, the products it produces are surely to expand. All right, then. We'll plan on taking some calls later, too. But right now, we're going to take our quick little break and get right back with Ann Blake Tracy. Her book, Prozac, Panacea, or Pandora. And you heard what the lady said. All of these drugs are closely associated, closely related to the original Prozac. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And the symptoms are, the side effects, rather, are remarkably the same. We'll be right back with Ann Blake Tracy. Please stand by. This is Coast. John B. in with you for the ride tonight on the typical Saturday night do. There's a pharmacist's comment here you might be interested in. The symptoms I see in patients who abuse serotonergic drugs of any form could aptly be described as the Hitler syndrome. Overconfidence in one's own policies or decisions, no fear of consequences, criminal behavior, death of people close to the abuser as the preferred method of solving problems in the abuser's life, coldness and lack of humanity. I feel that in 20 years or less, we will be confronted not with one Hitler, but with thousands or millions, numbers so great that we will be forced to interact with their distorted thinking on a daily basis. Littleton, Colorado, Riverton, Kansas, Jonesboro, Arkansas, eventually little Hitlers. In every town in America, we'll grow up into big Hitlers. It is happening right now. The most insidious factor about long-term serotonin abuse is that it enhances the individual's persona to the point that they think they are able to manipulate others into their way of thinking just as Hitler did. This causes the distorted thinking, abnormal behavior, and loss of morality to spread like a contagion to otherwise normal people who have not even been exposed to the drugs. Those on the drugs are converted by the pharmacological, physiological processes into sociopathic demagogues. And please comment on this. I mean, that's just nightmare scary.
Yeah. He asked if we were the only ones. He said, please tell me we're not the only ones that see this coming. And that was almost a decade ago. So, but when you look at the early research on serotonin, it was done in Israel by Dr. Felix Solman in the mid-50s. And he found that people that could not break down serotonin on their own would suffer from what he called serotonin irritation syndrome. Now keep in mind, this is what the drugs do, is keep you from breaking down serotonin. So he found that they suffered from migraines, hot flashes, irritability, sleeplessness, pains around the heart, difficulty breathing, the worsening of bronchial complaints, tension and anxiety that would appear from out of nowhere, horrifying nightmares. They would sleep very poorly, just on the edge of consciousness. And he also found that it would cause pregnant women to abort. In fact, serotonin was initially given to pregnant women to put them into labor, which shouldn't surprise anybody when so many moms can miscarry on these. Then when you look further at additional research, you find that elevated serotonin is found in psychosis or schizophrenia, mood disorders, which includes depression and anxiety, organic brain disease, that's brain damage, mental retardation, autism, And we've just learned lately that the rate of autism in children born to moms who take antidepressants is almost 4 times higher. Alzheimer's is another thing that you have with elevated serotonin. Suicide, violence, arson, substance abuse, insomnia, violent nightmares, impulsive behavior, reckless driving, exhibitionism, hostility, and argumentative behavior. So is it any wonder I've called these the divorce pills forever? But when you look at the early research, he found that even rabbits, the most docile of creatures, would become aggressive.
When their serotonin levels were raised.
Right.
Now, what will do this naturally if you're not taking one of these drugs? What will raise the serotonin as a matter of course?
Lack the ability. Some people lack the ability to break them down.
Okay.
Break the serotonin down on their own. So they can have that problem. In fact, there was a study done in 1996, the University of Southern California, where they found they were testing mutant mice from an experiment that had gone terribly wrong, a genetic experiment. They found that these mice were born with an excess serotonin in their brain. And they were blind and jittery, and they were the most violent creatures they'd ever seen. And one of the researchers remembered a study done on a family of Dutch men. They were looking mainly at the men because they had a past problem with rape, assault, and arson, very violent crime. And when they studied them, they found that they were missing an enzyme called an MAO enzyme. The
yes.
MAO enzyme breaks down serotonin.
So that's why the bullfighters have almost. I saw a story one time about MAOs, and the bullfighters for some reason picked the bullfighters. They had almost zero, but somebody who is afraid to go into a grocery store without being in continual communication by a cell phone with their handler, if you will, had very high MAO levels.
Hmm.
So,
interesting.
I'm just looking at these stats here. It's as of August 3rd, 2009, this one publication, Psych Central, says antidepressant use up 75%. And then by October 25th, 2011, the same site says it's up 400%. Do you have any numbers on how many people or what percentage of the population is actually on some sort of antidepressant drug?
No, that's pretty guarded. I did an interview with Salt Lake City Magazine clear back in 1992, and at that point, the reporter was bright enough to go in and check with, it was a pharmacy supply place, and so she was able to get some numbers that way. But she also checked the stats for the state of Utah and found that 60% of state employees were taking an antidepressant. Okay. Now you know why you don't get service. No.
Well,
it was 60% back then, I hate to think what government workers might be on now. We also know that between 1996 and 2004, the use of antidepressants among youth increased at an alarming rate, and at the same time, bipolar disorder. Remember that mania was one of the things that you see. Mania,
yeah.
And bipolar is the same thing. Mania is one of the things that you see with elevated serotonin. And bipolar disorder diagnosis went up by 4,000% in that same period.
But how is this even possible? What possible cause can there be for this?
Well, you overstimulate the brain and you get seizure activity. Mania is a continuous series of mild seizures. So is sleep. When you go into REM sleep, it's a continuous series of mild seizures. And these people will often report that it's very much like being in a dream state. We're chemically inducing it. There's a lot of research out to show that. Yale has done quite a few studies showing that there are people that are going bipolar or manic, and the many physicians are not recognizing it as coming from the antidepressants, so they continue to treat them, usually with the same drugs that have caused the problem, which is really sad.
You know, you're so mellow and soft-spoken, and I'm borderline hyper here, but it has not escaped my notice over the last several years that all this increase in autism, all this increase in this ADD and ADHD and bipolar and everything else. Now, obviously, some of this is going to occur in people due to some sort of an organic issue. However, what you're saying suggests strongly that it's all of these drugs are just being overprescribed.
Yes, and causing terrible problems everywhere we turn. Many patients don't even realize that so many of the problems that they're having are related. Like, for instance, I just had a woman contact me on Facebook about wanting to know how to get her six-year-old son off of the drug safely. And I do have a CD that goes for an hour and a half detailing the safest ways we've found to come down off of these. And please don't come down quickly. The worst thing you can ever do. The FDA has warned that if you do that, even if you change your dose or switch to another med, if you do it rapidly, you can become suicidal, hostile, or you can go psychotic. Usually a manic psychosis, which is when you get the bipolar diagnosis. But this mom wanted to know how to get her six-year-old off, who was autistic. And after listening to my CD, she came back on and she said, "Wow, I am so grateful to have this information. Here, I've had so many problems with TMJ. I didn't realize that my Zoloft was causing that. So my son and I will come off of our medications together." Fibromyalgia, there's so many things that you end up with these drugs. Because people don't know, they haven't related them.
Well, is there some sort of a central database where people can look into this before they just say, "Okay, thanks, Doc, I'll go get the prescription filled right now and begin taking it at once"?
Well, that's what our website is for, thedrugawareness.org, is to try to educate patients before they jump off this cliff and find out more about at least what to watch for if they decide to take the drug.
Now, is there an alternative to these drugs to help people who are depressed?
Well, there's all kinds of alternatives. But I would not recommend St. John's Wort or 5-HTP that many health stores are recommending, because what they've done is just copied the incorrect hypothesis behind these drugs. And they're doing it naturally to increase serotonin. You don't want to do that. You want to increase the metabolism of serotonin.
I see. So, now, Mark has sent an email saying, "Hi, John, I've known two friends that have taken SSRIs. It does nothing if you don't take them regularly, and they're healthy." One said. The other swore by it and did some crazy stuff if he stopped. So,
because he's stopping too quickly.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we're sort of diplomatically drifting toward the inevitable crux of our discussion tonight is the deadly side effects of these prescription antidepressants. this is not only, you know, what it does to a person physically, but what they may do in a psychotic episode to other people.
That's right. And that's what our database is showing how many cases we've had of people who have flipped. And it's very simple to understand how this happens, too, because we've got on the drug awareness website a kid that took a gun to school. He was 16 at the time, and he tells his story about what happened to him that day. And it's really important for people. I don't know of any school shooter ever that has sat down and told his story the way Corey did. And so you can go in and watch the video. He talks about what happened. And when you see this, you're going to look at it and go, oh, my gosh, this was a normal kid who just flipped out one day. He doesn't remember what happened. 10 years later, he still doesn't remember anything that happened that day. But he held his classmates at gunpoint for about 45 minutes, I believe.
You know, I have to go here. We've got a couple of minutes before we have to take our break. What a quick hour. James Holmes, the alleged Aurora shooter, had a look of, I have no idea what just happened.
That's right.
He really did have that look on his face. Nobody can act that.
Right. Right. He just looked absolutely horrified. Which is what I said Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold probably looked like when they got to the other side. Look back and go, we just did what?
Oh, boy.
But it's actually a sleep disorder, and we can talk about that.
Sleep disorder. Yes, indeed. I mean, when people sleepwalk, sometimes they wake up in the middle of it and go, what am I doing? And other times they go, well, I must have moved the coffee pot into the living room when I was sleepwalking last night because there's nobody here but me. So this is a real thing. This is actually, I mean, people who don't experience it cannot possibly imagine what it's like to be in this different reality. It's a real thing for them.
Called a REM sleep behavior disorder, and 86% of those being diagnosed are taking an antidepressant, we now know.
So they go to the doctor because they're having sleep issues, and they wind up taking an antidepressant.
Right.
Okay. Well, let's have some news and let our sponsors do their thing. And when we come back, I'd like to ask you some questions regarding the possibility that people taking these drugs can be manipulated not only by prescribing the drugs to them, but by some techniques that may be applied once they're taking them regularly. We'll be back with Ann Blake Tracy on Coast to Coast AM.